The Supreme Court hears arguments today on a man who changed roles. He was a prosecutor in a death penalty case. Then he became a justice on a court which heard that same case. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg begins our story with the man whose life hangs in the balance.
In hindsight, Terrence Williams was, as some put it, a Jekyll and Hyde personality. He was a star quarterback in high school who won a college scholarship at Cheney University. He was also a violent teenager who, from an early age, was the victim of rampant and vicious beatings at home and sexual abuse from neighbors and older men, even a middle school teacher. Ultimately, Williams was convicted in the brutal killing of an older man with whom he'd had sex. The district attorney of Philadelphia at the time was Ronald Castile. He personally authorized seeking the death penalty in the case and would later campaign for a seat on the state Supreme Court, noting that he'd secured 45 death sentences as DA. One of those was in Williams' case. In 2012, a state court judge held an evidentiary hearing in the case and then issued a stay of execution, setting aside the death sentence on grounds of prosecutorial misconduct. The judge concluded that the prosecution had hidden mitigating evidence in the case. The state appealed to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, where former DA Castile was by then sitting as Chief Justice. The defense moved to have Castile recuse himself, but he refused, and the six-justice court then reinstated the death penalty by a unanimous vote. Today, lawyers for defendant Williams will tell the U.S. Supreme Court that by refusing to step aside, Chief Justice Castile, who has since retired, deprived Williams of his constitutional right to due process of law. Public defender Stuart Lev.
The fundamentals of a fair hearing are an impartial tribunal. And for years, the Supreme Court has held that a person who was a lawyer, and particularly a prosecutor, at the time of trial should not be sitting in the role of a judge, that you can't switch roles in the same case to go from a prosecutor to being a judge. And that's what happened here.
Lawyers for the state declined to be interviewed for this broadcast, but in their briefs, they argue that Castile's role in seeking the death penalty was just, quote, ministerial and administrative, and that such a sign-off should not be a basis for later recusal. Public defender Lev replies that it's hard to see how a decision to seek the death penalty can ever be considered ministerial, and that the memo DA Castile signed required him to review facts and make a decision. The state of Pennsylvania replies that whatever Castile's role, it doesn't matter in this case, since the six-justice state Supreme Court unanimously voted to reinstate the death penalty in the case, and so the argument goes, even without Castile's vote, the outcome would have been the same. Not so fast, replies public defender Lev, noting that appeals courts work closely on a collegial basis, and if the vote of one judge is corrupted, he maintains, the whole process is contaminated.
It's simply impossible to know what influence Chief Justice Castile had on the decision-making process, and therefore the process itself is tainted.
The U.S. Supreme Court has generally been loath to second-guess lower courts on the question of recusal, but there have been exceptions, and Lev says this is one of those exceptional cases.
I know of no other case like this anywhere where a judge who had this kind of decision-making later sat as a judge on the same case.
Eight friend of the court briefs have been filed in the case, all side with the defendant, including one filed by 16 former high-ranking prosecutors who became judges. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.